Yeah, it's a privilege to be able to share with you today. I was just thinking the other day, it's been a while.
Yes.
It was bad in the days, I think.
That's right.
Time I shared.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, Nigel opened our gathering this afternoon with Psalm 95. And I'm going to open with the same psalm. The way the Lord leads, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Psalm 95, the first three verses. It says this, it says, "Oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." You know, there's a phrase that's used twice in those three verses. I just want to focus on this afternoon. And it's the phrase, "Let us shout joyfully to the rock or to him." Let us shout joyfully. I want to share this afternoon on the power of the shout. And throughout the scriptures we see, and in the Psalms in particular, we are encouraged to shout for joy. Now the purpose of this isn't so that we can exercise our vocal cords. It's not that we can, you know, perhaps we often do when we get frustrated, you know, we shout out in despair or with stress. It's not as a means of release of that. The reason we are told to shout is because there is a spiritual reason behind it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look at three points this afternoon. And if you've got Bibles and want to turn these scriptures up, please do. First of all, in Isaiah 54, the very first verse. And this verse, this taken from the NIV translation. And it says, "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord." Now, if there's ever a person that has a reason not to shout for joy, it's the person who desperately wants a child and is unable to have one. Our youngest daughter's been up. She wants a child, and she's been longing for a child for years. And she's been through all the hospital, the doctors, she's gone for tests. First they thought it was her husband having problems. He came back flying colours. So she went through the tests and found out there's a problem somewhere, and they don't really know what the problem is, but the reason why she can't conceive. You know, she loves her niece, treats her like her own, but she wants one herself. And if there's ever a woman like that, not a woman that wants to shout for joy. Now, she's got some complaint, she's got something that is bugging her. But here the Lord tells us to shout for joy, or for this type of person to shout for joy. Why? Because the shout of joy is an act of our faith. So the Lord declares that the barren woman, and it might be other things that we're going through, might not be barrenness in that sense, but we should release the shout of joy to him. Why? Because it, as an act of our faith, faith is released in the shout. It focuses our faith on the Lord, who is the great and mighty God. A little earlier on in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 12, In that great hymn of praise that Isaiah records, it says at the very last verse of Isaiah 12, it says, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the mighty one," or the Holy One, "in the midst of thee." You know, great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst. You know, our faith is focused through the shout. We trust God, we trust His greatness, we trust His might, we trust His delivering, self-saving power when we shout. I was reminded of the blind man in the New Testament in Luke 10, Bartimaeus. You know, when Jesus was coming through Jericho and Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was on the way. And it says that he began to cry out and shout so that the Lord would hear. You know, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And you know the story, you know what happened. You know, as Jesus was coming along, there was people, the crowds around him told him to be quiet, told him not to bother Jesus, and that Jesus wouldn't want to bother with him anyway. But it says in Luke 10, it says that made him even more determined to shout even louder. And he cried out even more. He shouted even more. He released that shout of faith, that shout of joy. Why? Because he was focused on Jesus. Getting to Jesus. Meeting with Jesus. And I've only just seen this just recently in the scriptures. Because I've read this account many times in Luke 10. Let me just turn it up because Luke 10. It's the end. Let's say I've got the wrong. No, Luke 10 is Martha, isn't it? Is it Matthew? Matthew 10, is it Matthew? I don't know. No, it's Mark 10, isn't it? Mark 10. Sorry, my apologies. Yeah, Mark 10. Forgive me for the wrong reference. And it says, as they came into Jericho, this is verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. As they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal. He cried even louder. "You know, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, now they changed their tone now with him. It's no longer, you know, "Be quiet and shut up because, you know, don't bother Jesus, he wouldn't be bothered." "Cheer up now, be of good comfort. Rise, he's calling you." And it says he cast away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Yeah. Now, I've read that many times. And, you know, Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And the faith he's referring to there, I think it's twofold. One, it's that cry, that shout of joy, or that shout out for the Lord. He cried out. He put all his effort into the shout. And the second one, then, is the throwing away of the garment. You know, that garment was his license, if you will, to beg. You know, he just didn't need that begging coat anymore. You know, he's casting it aside. That was his faith in action. But it's that cry of faith, why? Because faith is focused on the Lord in the shout. Secondly, the shout of joy is an act of our praise. And there's a few, again, some scriptures from the Psalms. You don't have to turn these up if you don't want to. I'll read them to you. In Psalm 5, because there are quite a few. Psalm 5, verse 11 says this: "Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let also those who love your name be joyful in you." You know, all those who put their trust in you, let them rejoice. Let them shout for joy. Psalm 32:11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart." You know, we're to be glad in the Lord. We're to rejoice. And we're to rejoice with the shout of joy. Psalm 35:27, this one for now, says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." You know, shout for joy and be glad. And declare, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be praised. You know, there's praise. It's an act of our praise when we shout. Now, we've come together this afternoon. We've praised the Lord. We've rejoiced with singing. You know, there's a time to sing. There's a time to play music. There's a time to give testimony and speak the praises of God like through that. And there's also a time to shout and to let the vocal cords express praise to God. I remember hearing, some of you will know the man I'm talking about, maybe some of you don't, but I was listening to David Willows from Yorkshire speaking many years ago. I was just a young boy at the time, in my early teens. And, you know, Dave had a big influence on my life back in those days. And I was listening to one of his sermons that I got on a cassette tape. And in that, he said, it wouldn't do anybody any harm, because now he's in the north of Yorkshire, so he said, get out onto the moors or out onto the Yorkshire Dales. And he said, just let out a shout to the Lord.
Yeah.
And let it sort of echo around the hills. He said he used to send me that message that he tells all the young people in the church, you know, he takes them out, he would take them out and take the minibus or something, take them out into the moors and let them just shout for joy. Because there's a time to shout. When we praise God with the shout, we're reinforcing our faith in him. You've just seen that the shout is an act of faith. But when we shout in praise, an act of our praise, it's reinforcing that faith. Yes, he is the great and mighty God. We acknowledge the salvation and deliverance of our God. Now, I was in the service, in our church service this morning, and there was a prophetic word given. And I was just listening to the prophetic word, and immediately my mind went to that, I've already quoted from it, Isaiah 12, quoted verse 6, but in Isaiah 12 it says this: "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." You know, when we praise God, we draw out of the wells of salvation. Actually, that word salvation there, it's the same word that's used for Jesus, it's Yeshua. So when we draw from the wells of salvation, we're actually drawing from the Lord himself. You know, praise, or that shout of praise, which Isaiah finishes that hymn with, which says, cry out and shout. Because great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. You know, we acknowledge the salvation of God. We acknowledge the deliverance of God. And we draw on that supply. Now, the prophetic word this morning was the... He's talking about that living water that flows from out of us, that river of living water, which Jesus spoke of in John 7. But when we shout, it's listen to that. I want to read the whole of Psalm 98. You can turn it up if you want, follow with me. It's only a short one, it's only about 9 verses. But Psalm 98 is a call to praise with a shout of joy. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. I love a new song. I like the old ones too. Actually, I like the old ones better than the new ones. But it's good to have a new song. But sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. We've testified to his marvelous things that he's done in our lives. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And then he goes on and says, so he says, shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with the trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Then listen to these words. You know, you almost can be forgiven to think, well, why have they been added on at the end of this psalm? It says, let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity or with truth. You know, they were encouraged to shout joyfully to the Lord twice in that psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Why? Because we've seen the salvation of the Lord. We've got something that we can praise God for, we can thank him for. We've seen his hand, we've experienced his mercy, we know his faithfulness. So shout, let that shout of joy go out as an act of praise. Then he says, break forth in song, rejoice, sing praises, sing to the Lord with the harp, with musical instruments, with the sound of a psalm, with the trumpets, the sound of a horn, then shout joyfully before the Lord the King. He's underlining it, you know, shout joyfully. Then we have this bit, let the seas give off their roar. You know, I love to be by the sea. I love to hear the waves come and crash in on the shore, particularly the shingle beaches. You know, and you just hear that, there's just something for me that's, I can draw close to the Lord when I'm sitting on a beach like that and listening to the waves coming in. So let the sea roar. The sea has its roar. Then it says, the rivers clap their hands. Now, I don't know about the sound of a clap with a river, but just recently we were in Mid Wales. We went there for a week, just a few weeks ago, and we went down to one of the places, which is a place where there's a waterfall, and a beautiful place. And just to stand near the waterfall and hear the water thunder into the pit below, you know, it was like a rapturous round of applause. You know, so maybe that's what the psalmist had in mind, you know, the water cascading off the mountains. He says, the rivers clap their hands. The hills rejoice. There's another scripture that talks about the trees of the field clapping their hands. You know, so creation, you know, echoes that, almost like that joyful shout That's why the people of God should praise and shout to, you know, because creation was created to praise. I love the scripture, and I've loved it for years. You know, when Jesus is riding to Jerusalem, and Caiaphas tells Jesus, "Lisa, just get the people to calm down a little bit, you know, because they're waving the palm branches, they're shouting, they're singing Hosanna." And Jesus responds, says, "Look," he says, "Caiaphas, if all these people were quiet, then the rocks on the roadside would begin to shout and praise and sing." You know, the people of God should make that joyful shout. Then thirdly and lastly, the shout of joy brings victory into our situation. Psalm 47 verse 1 says this, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph." The voice of triumph. The shout of joy brings victory. It causes us to triumph. A victorious army, when they were coming back from battle, you know, they're not coming back quiet with their heads held low. You know, they've got their heads high, they're shouting, they're singing, they're making a lot of noise. We see it today. Now, I wasn't here in the Leicester area in 2016 when they won all the premiership. But I'm sure the streets of Leicester were not quiet on that night. I'm sure it was rapturous. It was loud. There was shouting. There was dancing. And we see it when any football team wins a cup. The fans are jubilant with shouts of joy. You know, but let's just quickly look at the greatest example of victory in the scriptures about the shout of joy. You know it very well. That's the shout of Joshua's army at Jericho. Now, we've mentioned Jericho with Bartimaeus. But let's go back all those years. And we find it written in Joshua 6. And it says in verse 20, it says, "So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. And the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. You know, Joshua and his armies marched around that city. Actually, they marched around, and I said this once in our church quite a few years ago, and I could see some, as I said it, there's a quick turning of the pages in the scriptures. The armies of God, the Israelite armies, marched around Jericho 13 times. Because we've been taught in Sunday school, it was 7. Well, it was 7, but that was just on the last day. They actually find, if you read the scriptures, they marched around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. That's 6 times. Then on the 7th day, they marched around 7 times, making 13. And on the end of the final circuit round, they did that in complete silence. Not a noise, not a murmur, no talking, no one talking to their neighbor, asking about the weather, or, you know, it's, you know how hard it is to get people to be quiet these days. Especially when, in the start of church services, you know, you can stand up and you can still hear this murmuring going on. And people haven't seen each other for a week or something, and they're catching up. And, you know, it was total silence. Then the sound of the trumpet. And then that great shout of praise to God. And it says, at the sound of the trumpet and the sound of the shout, the wall fell down flat. You know, that joyful praise caused the walls to fall down and they won the victory. You know, 3 reasons from the scriptures why we should release the shout of joy. You know, because it's an act of our faith, it's an act of our praise, and it brings us the victory. So whatever situation we're facing today, whatever we're in, you know, we are in, even in the nation, unprecedented times. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty. You talk to people on the street or at work, you know, they are worried and scared stiff about what is unfolding in these days. You know, from this weekend, you know, they tell us that, you know, the energy prices are going up, and, you know, people are worried. You know, and they said to me, well, aren't you worried? I said, no, I'm not worried, because the Lord's my provider. I've been there before. You know, I've been down to the where I've only had. And again, this came to my mind this morning. I was just thinking about it and thanking God for it. We came to the point where we just had, all we had was just, at the time we were living in Malta. We weren't in the UK. And I got down to my last 2 euros, I think it was. And I said to Jane, my wife, I said, look, that was it. That's all we had, 2 euros. I said, we need bread, we need milk. And I left the apartment where we was living and walked down to the little bakery. That was only a 5-minute walk down the road. Got the bread, got the milk, gave the 2 euros. Didn't get many cents change from that. Came back. Jane met me on the stairs because we lived about 3 stories up on the thing. Now, the beautiful thing about places in Malta where we were living, a little bit like the house, they had flat roofs. So you could stand on the roof, and she saw me coming up the street, and she met me on the stairs, and she said, tears in her eyes, and I thought, yeah, I know it was bad, you know, we know it was tough, but she said, what? She says, the solicitor's just phoned and told us the money for the house has gone through, because we were selling a property here. You know, we didn't have nothing. They said, just this second phone, as you left the house, says she phoned to say the money's in the bank. And she's tears in her eyes, said, that's God. Right at the right moment. You know, so we've seen the Lord provide before. So I'm not worried about it. So in these days, that's what I tell. I said, no, I'm not worried because the Lord's my provider. But people are scared. You know, we release the shout of praise. You know, I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, because it probably won't be easy. But when we live by faith, we live lives of praise, we see the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to...